Good afternoon and welcome to Voluntary Values. This is Daryl.
And this is Serena.
And Serena is filling in for Emberly. Emberly is not feeling well today. So Emberly, if you're listening, take care of yourself and get better. Eat lots of yogurt and
yes,
other
healthy
yummy,
foods.
Healthy foods. Although I'm one to talk about eating healthy foods.
Oh, come on.
I generally don't. I'm on the pizza diet, kind of, which is slightly better than the donut diet in the fact that taxpayers are not paying for my food.
Yeah. No, it's not bad.
And
pizza's yummy. We have a lot of pizza places here, too.
Yeah, there's some good pizza around. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to have a guest, Pasha Roberts, the producer of the Silver Circle movie, is
Woo-hoo!
Going to come on.
Saw that at Port
to talk
Fest.
About his movie, as well as something that I believe that he predicted, although apparently he did not, because this is a hidden provision in the Patriot Act. The Federal Reserve has private police, so we're going to talk to Pasha about private police and the Fed and the Silver Circle movie that I am anxiously awaiting. I've been waiting on this movie for 2.5-3 years now. So we'll talk about the Fed with Pasha, but we'll start off talking about the Fed. Yesterday, September 22nd, there were rallies all across the country at different Federal Reserve buildings to protest the Fed and actually call for abolishing the Federal Reserve. So if you were at one of those rallies and you want to give your account of what happened, give us a call at 603-435-1105. So Serena, what's your opinions on the Fed and currency and whatnot?
Let's see.
Yeah, because before the show today, when I was purchasing an agorist breakfast, we were having a discussion about, you know, possibly making a local currency that could be exchanged for goods and services within, you know, a small community.
Yeah.
And whether or not that would technically be a fiat currency if it was not backed by anything of value.
Well, I mean, let's just base it on the dollar bill. They started a good base for us. Now it's worth nothing, and I don't know. I'm just kidding, but I don't know. There's so much. When I think about it, I have an explosion in my mind. I just we have way too many limits just because of them. That's basically all that I can say about that.
Yeah. So, well, the discussion was whether or not it would be fiat if it's backed by goods and services in the community. And I was arguing that, yes, it would be. Because fiat currency is anything not backed by a specific commodity.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, so if anybody has an opinion and they want to weigh in, give us a call, 603-435-1105. And what I was saying was, you know, because it's a local currency that, you know, is just claimed to be backed by the goods and services in the community, would essentially be fiat, because the U.S. dollar is supposedly backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, that is supposedly backed by all the goods and services produced in the country.
Well, I don't know. I think everything goes to a deeper level. I think that's why I can't come up with little detailed things. You know, like, it's just basically another way to know who, like, to control who has the money. I mean, the whole thing, everything, like, all their paper stuff.
Right, but
it's, I don't know, the whole system's messed up.
If there's no one with a monopoly on the creation of the currency, then there's no one to control.
Right. No, that's true. I think that it, just anything is better than the U.S. dollar, and anything we could do as groups of people exchanging things with each other, we should try. You know, I mean, if it's worth it to us, it's not like you have to have a million people agreeing with you that it's something that they would like to trade with. You know,
right.
It's not their business.
There are several alternatives to the U.S. dollar already.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm not talking just Bitcoin, because there's Bitcoin, which is completely digital. There are several different currencies being put out by the AOCS, which is the American Open Currency Standard. And those are all either gold, silver, or copper, or a combination of the three. And I've done quite a bit of business with AOCS. And Rob Gray, the executive director of AOCS, wrote a very good article explaining what he learned from Bernard von Nothausen. And for anybody that's not familiar with who Bernard von Nothausen is, Bernard was the owner, I guess, or the creator of Liberty Dollars. And, you know, Bernard was sentenced to some prison time for supposedly counterfeiting U.S. currency because he was putting out he was putting out silver coins that looked, to the untrained eye, it was argued, looked too much like coins that may have been put out by the U.S. Mint in the past. Mm. Because a lot of the coin had the Statue of Liberty and either the word liberty or the word peace above the head of the Statue of Liberty.
And yeah, we have claimed liberty and peace.
Some of the older U.S. coins put out by the Mint, and even some of the commemoratives put out by the Mint, have very similar designs. And there were some people that were using the Liberty Dollars and not explaining to people that this is an alternative to the U.S. dollar. They were just saying, hey, here's a $10 coin.
Yeah.
Not saying, here's a coin that...
Not violating copyright.
Well, no, not saying, here's a coin with $6 worth of silver in it. But it says $10 on the back. Mm. Would you be willing to accept this? They were using it fraudulently, and that's something else that Bernard got in trouble for.
Mm.
Was because the currency was being used in a fraudulent manner.
Right. So it doesn't equal to what, silver?
No,
I'm joking.
It was obviously, you know, being passed off as a $10 coin. Even though at the time it was $6 worth of silver, but people were just saying, here's a $10 coin. And, you know, the cashier at Walmart, they're not familiar with every coin put out by every government everywhere in the world. So they'll just like, oh, okay, it must be Canadian or something. I don't know. Yeah, and I've actually seen some of the Liberty Dollar, and I'm not going to say that he counterfeited currency, because I know for a fact that he did not. But, you know, I could see how a jury could be convinced that he put out coins that looked too similar to some coins put out by the U.S. Mint.
Well, also, especially because whose court are they sitting in, too?
Right.
You know?
Well, and one of the things that Rob Gray said in his article talking about what he learned from Bernard was none of his coins, or none of the rounds, not coins, can't call it a coin. The government owns the patent or a copyright on the word coin, so you can't call it a coin.
You can't coin phrase.
The rounds being put out by the AOCS do not look like anything put out by any government. There are some rounds, and I think they're absolutely beautiful. The Lakota rounds.
Oh, I think I actually saw them.
The Chief Sitting Bull on the front. Or at least I believe it's Chief Sitting Bull. So we'll keep talking about this and more coming up on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN.FM. If you're at home listening online, you can watch us online. There's a webcam. You can look at our lovely faces.
My
it's right there on the
face.
Homepage of LRN.FM. And real quick, I want to tell you about the Agorist Marketplace. If you're looking to get connected with other agorists, whether you own a business that accepts alternative currencies, or if you're just looking to find a business that does accept alternative currencies, such as silver, gold, bitcoins, barter, or trade, go to agoristmarketplace.com. You can get listed for free. You can search other businesses for free.
Yay!
That's agoristmarketplace.com. And Alma out there in Phoenix with the Agorist Marketplace, she does a wonderful job.
Yeah, she rocks.
She put on the Jackalope Freedom Festival this past summer, or might have been... Yeah, it was in the summer.
It was in August.
It was in August, so technically, yeah, that is definitely summer in Phoenix. I guess right now it's actually still summer in Phoenix because a friend of mine said last night it was 103 degrees just outside of Phoenix. And it was rather chilly up here in Keene, New Hampshire.
It's almost always chilly and keen. And then when it's like hot outside, you're used to it being hot. And then it gets colder like an hour later. And then it gets warmer again.
My first experience in New Hampshire, and people say that I exaggerate this. My first experience in New Hampshire was Porkfest 2010.
Really?
We were building fires to stay warm.
That's the year before I went.
Even last year, Porkfest 2011, we were building fires to stay warm.
Well, that is true, actually. Yeah, last year, that was kind of fun.
It got down into the 40s at night.
Yeah, your face would be cold, and then your hands would be scorching hot because everything else was, like, freezing. And it was hard to be prepared for that. I didn't bring enough long sleeves either, so I kept borrowing Jackie's sweatshirt.
You know, I'm from the South originally, so when I heard festival, June, all right, take shorts and some t-shirts. I may have had one pair of sweatpants. Only because I remember when I lived in Pennsylvania, it never got above 80. Or rarely got above 80, never got above 90 when I was living there. And so I remember, all right, you know, it's kind of chilly in Pennsylvania during the summertime. So, yeah, you know, I'll take a jacket and a pair of sweatpants. And I was freezing the entire week. And, of course, this year it was extremely hot all week.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to work and could only make it for the weekend, and it rained.
Yeah, I remember that. That you had to come on the rainy day.
Yeah, got up there. 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday, got maybe 2.5-3 hours of sleep. Friday was nice, and it rained pretty much all day Saturday.
Porkfest was really, 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 really fun. It's always nice to go there because you meet a lot of very, very different people with one core, like, well, not one core value, but the idea of respecting each other's liberty. You know,
right.
It's just so
that
nice.
That is pretty much a core value.
It really is, but it's rare that you get that many people just having that kind of, it's almost like you sign up as I care about your liberty, and then everybody just kind of assumes that, you know, and just
well,
like,
and
kind
that,
of have a good time.
That's one of the wonderful things about the Free State Project, which I'm a member of.
Yeah.
You unfortunately cannot
Unfortunately,
be
I can't because I've been here since I was 8.
Because
but,
you were basically raised in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but when I was like 20, I found this thingy that I asked Daryl if he had a piece of paper, and it was a warning thing. I found it on the ground, and this is how I was shown stuff about Free Keene. It says, warning. Under no circumstances should you visit these websites. If their ideas infect you, there is no turning back. Do not watch the 8-minute video at newfreekeen.com. ignore the blatant propaganda videos at freemindsmedia.org and obscuredtruth.com. You are prohibited from reading press.freekeen.com. Avoid listening to the liars at Free Talk Live. Never read or listen to free audiobooks and PDFs at book.freekeen.com. Scary people inhabit forum.freekeen.com. Don't talk to any of them. This message brought to you by the Coalition for Authoritarian Government.
You know, and from what I heard about this flyer, it was one of those...
I went to the websites.
Well, it was one of those ad campaigns to try to get people to go to the site by being told, don't go here.
And it worked. Oh, yeah, it worked.
Actually, from what I heard, it did not.
It worked
for
me.
It backfired.
Well, I didn't get on the... Yeah.
You know, there, of course, you know, there's always going to be somebody that goes to look at whatever they're being told not to look at. But from what I understand, for the most part, it pretty much backfired because people were like, yeah, those guys are horrible. And they're not.
I couldn't find anybody to say that, though. That's why I was like, do you know what this means? I'm not at a computer right now. I'm stumped. And they're like, oh, those guys are cool. I was like, okay, well, that's good.
Okay, well... You definitely were hanging out with a different crowd then.
I don't know. I was at the 420 rallies. It was like when it was bigger.
Okay, that explains it. That explains it.
It was right before the rallies that I... I don't remember. They were all around... It was all September, I think.
Was this September of last year?
No, 2009, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when the 420 rallies first started up.
Yeah, that was when Rich, Candace, and Noah were at Central Square. And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of people showed up.
And if you've never seen these videos, you can find all of them online. There are tons of videos.
Yeah, I was wondering... had a drum circle and everything at the beginning. It was so cool. Like, everybody was just trading drums and just, so cool.
A lot of these videos that Serena's talking about have been put together as part of the backstory for Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree, which you can watch online at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Yay!
They had a real-life movie premiere for that just a little over a week ago. And I was pleasantly surprised by the turnout. There were approximately 50 people that showed up at 9:45 in the morning on a Saturday.
Right, and Kyle and I woke up late and ran over. But yeah, that was great. That was awesome to see it on the big screen. And
there's a video that I believe Derek put up. It may not have been Derek. Was someone put up of Jason Short, one of the police officers with KPD, rolled by the movie theater before the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tim Peliquin rolled by. I saw him a couple days ago, and he said that he watched the movie, and he thought that it was very well produced.
Really?
Which is an excellent compliment. We'll be back with Pasha Roberts on Voluntary Value. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN, the Liberty Radio Network. You can listen live on LRN.fm. You can also watch the webcam and see our lovely faces. Well, one lovely face, and I have a face for radio, definitely. And we are joined now by Pasha Roberts. Pasha is the producer and I believe also the writer of the Silver Circle movie that should be coming out this fall, I believe. Is that correct, Pasha?
Yeah, actually, I wrote the story, but our screenwriter wrote most of the awesome dialogue and all that kind of thing. So hats off to Steve for pulling the whole story together. And and then we'll be coming out. We'll be doing a number of releases this fall, and the movie theater thing happens in January, just because we need to avoid the Santa Claus movies as they're rumbling through the theaters.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, definitely do not want to try competing against the Santa Claus movies Christmas and all the other crazy holiday things that are out there.
No, we're hoping to, I don't know, I mean, there's a chance that the movie breaks out, then, you know, that would stop it right there.
So. Right.
Anyway, but we're psyched. It's looking good. It's sounding good. And I have appreciated the support you guys have given over the years.
Yeah, I am happy to support you because you're putting out a wonderful movie. I've read the graphic novel, and I can't wait until I get a physical copy of that I can hold in my hand. And I believe you have that coming out sometime around the same time that the movie goes to theaters, correct?
Yeah, we're just looking at that. We actually had this really cool guy, Clayton Henry, who works for Marvel. He does all these incredible covers, and he made this total badass cover with our rebel standing in front of the Federal Reserve.
Nice.
So, the core of the story is that there's it's an economic collapse set in the future, and it's a bunch of underground rebels, people like you and me, that are fighting against the Federal Reserve and many ways.
I'm not really sure how underground either of us are, Pasha.
yeah, compared to them, really, I'm not that underground, but yeah.
And did you happen to go to the End the Fed rally yesterday in Boston? I know you're somewhere near Boston.
I'm somewhere near there. It was, I had computer troubles in the studio, so I was stuck on that. Afterwards, I tried driving around looking for them, and couldn't find them because they were on a march kind of going between it.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they were, but they weren't in front of the Federal Reserve.
Okay. And I actually, after reading this one particular article, or actually it was when I read the headline of the article, is when I invited you onto the show, and the headline says, "The Federal Reserve, a privately owned banking cartel, has been given police powers with Glock 22s and patrol cars." And my first thought was, Pasha predicted this. And then as I read the article, apparently this is a very secret provision that was hidden within the Patriot Act. Were you aware of this provision when you were putting together the Silver Circle movie? And in the movie, which is set in 2019, the Fed has their own private police. Were you aware of this, that this actually happened?
I learned in the process of the movie that it was one of the many things that were snuck into the Patriot Act. But we started making the movie well after that happened. So I don't know if we predicted it, but we definitely have seen, looking at the history in, say, Argentina or Zimbabwe, places like that, or Germany is a horrible case of it, where, you know, when the money goes bad, the authoritarian forces really need to clamp down more and more to maintain their monopoly on the money, because if other forms of money come in, then their dollar goes away. So we actually, that's part of the reason that we set the movie farther out in the future, just so that we could let things get worse. And our police are much worse than these current Federal Reserve. I mean, I don't think the current Federal Reserve owns helicopters yet.
Yet. That's the key word, yet. Give them time. If not a helicopter, they'll definitely get a drone.
And although in the sequel, we have the antidote to drones worked out, so that's going to be hilarious.
Hold on, did you say a sequel?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're kind of working on that, but yeah, there's a whole drone antidote that I find very humorous, but we'll...
looking forward to that as well as the movie coming out in January. And so you are definitely part of the group that wants to abolish the Federal Reserve, correct?
Yeah,
that's fairly safe to assume.
Or at least put it on fair terms with a bunch of other competing currencies. If you could remove all the government protections and have other competing currencies and, you know, see if anybody actually still wants to use the dollar after all that.
Okay. Because where I was going to go is because there definitely seems to be two camps within the movement to get rid of the Federal Reserve. There's the one group that says, let's have a bunch of different competing currencies to where anybody can mint their own coins and print their own dollars. And then it's, you know, up to the market to decide which is viable and which is not. And then there's the camp that says, let's give the monopoly on printing paper money to the U.S. Treasury, which is a totally unconstitutional action. And in fact, the Treasury did not print money before Abe Lincoln became president. And then Lincoln only did that to inflate the currency to pay for his war. So
yeah, that group is called the Greenbackers, and you see, it's good to actually be aware of the differences. You know, Alan Brown and I think of the other names.
Peter Schiff.
Is Schiff a Greenbacker?
Yes. There was a clip from one of his Senate debates when he was running for Senate in 2010 against Linda McMahon and someone else, where he actually said that he wants the Treasury to issue what he calls debt-free currency.
Right.
Which is just as fiat as anything else, because as long as there's fractional reserve banking, where they only have to hold, you know, a fraction, 10%, 8%, I think it's now down to somewhere like 6 or 7%. They only have to hold 7% of assets, and then they can just multiply and print more paper. So even if it's, you know, something that's backed by silver, as long as they can just print as much as they want and say, oh, well, no, you know, we know that no more than, you know, 1 out of every 10 holders of this paper will ever come to try to cash it in, then, you know, that's just as fiat as what we currently have that is backed by absolutely nothing other than threat of force.
Yeah, I don't know if you would call it better under that situation or not. I
don't
share their...
I'm saying it's no better.
Yeah, you know, Bill Still is the guy that does the videos of the Wizard of Oz and the Money Masters and all that kind of thing. And it's interesting because they're against all the corruption and for all the transparency and all the stuff that, you know, people like us sort of talk about with the Federal Reserve. But, you know, it's deceptive inside the movement, too, because people don't really understand. They get no better understanding of money if, you know, if they basically insist that the government insists. You know, if they basically support a fiat money system coming out of the government, there's no chance of it being any better controlled in terms of inflation. You know, there's, you know, still some secret mastermind determining money supply. So, and it's still based on nothing. So it's, you know, if you look at the history of fiat money, it's basically the history of warfare and colonialism.
Right. Hey, Pasha, can you hold on the line for us? Coming up, almost done with this segment. We'll bring you back just momentarily here on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on LRN. This is Daryl.
And this is Serena.
And we are live Sunday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're listening to this at any other time, we are not live right now. But if you're listening now, you can give us a call. But not right now, because we have Pasha Roberts on the phone with us. Although, I guess, theoretically, Pasha could take a call from a listener if anyone wanted to call in at 603-435-1105. Pasha, thanks for holding on through that commercial break.
Oh, it's nice hearing Ernie and all my friends out there, actually. It's kind of funny. So good to see the work getting out there.
And during that last segment, just before we came back, we were talking about the difference between the greenbackers and what some people call the gold bugs, which are the ones that want competing currencies. Although I do not like the term gold bug, because that just implies that you want the government to control a gold standard. Is that your understanding of gold bug as well, or do you have a different definition?
Well, I hang around the silver and gold people, too. I mean, they're a whole other breed of person, but they, usually that just comes from that they're really interested in gold and silver. They're gold standard people. The gold standard would be better. It would limit the supply of money automatically by the nature of the amount of metal. But, you know, even then the government did devalue the number of ounces of gold that was redeemable. So as long as you have a central official single legal tender of money, you're going to have the same problem.
Right. I'm glad that you mentioned about the gold and government controlling gold. I'm sure you've heard about the bars of gold that were recently discovered to have a tungsten core and then coated in gold.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where those came from? From what I heard, some of those were actually inside some government vaults before being released.
Yeah, there's people that would suggest, that suggest that's what's in Fort Knox and all that. But once the price of starts of metal goes up, you're going to start seeing more and more fraud like that. So you just have to be aware. I guess tungsten weighs very similarly to gold.
It's off by, I believe it's 4/1,000,000 of a gram. It's some very minute amount to where in, a normal decent size quantity, it is indistinguishable.
Right.
In density. Yeah. And it's the same density, which is very important.
Right. Yeah. So it's, because if you hold a bar of silver and a bar of gold in your hand there, you can tell the density is really different.
Right. And you've also been traveling around to a lot of the comic conventions as well.
Yep.
How's the reception of the movie and just the ideas that you're putting out? How's that being received at the Comic-Cons?
I think really pretty well. I mean, we get the occasional... We don't get as many haters as I would like, because I would be really entertained to have people really upset with me. But, most of it is, at the comic convention, it's comic world. I mean, some of them are definitely smarter than you would think. I've talked to a lot of people that, talk to me and pull me aside and tell me that there's thousands of bars of gold in their silver in their basement and that kind of a thing. Or not gold in their basement, but silver in their basement, and a lot of them seem to be very aware of these issues. But, it is the big face of pop culture. There's everybody's there, you get people dressed as, as Katniss from Hunger Games or whatever the newest movie is out. You see a lot of different costumes.
Have you seen anybody dressed as Zoe Taylor?
Only once. That was not at a show, so that was at Porkfest once. But we paid her to dress that way. So
right, I was referring to a fan, if you had any fans.
That doesn't count. Do
you have any fans that come in dressed as Silver Circle Rebels?
No, the movie's not out yet. So, maybe they'll start doing that once. There are some cool costumes in there. And for the sequel, we definitely realized, if we really want to get some serious cosplay going on, then we should make some really distinctive costumes and some really distinctive weapons. And, which would be great. And then people can, be more distinctively that. Because our rebels right now look like, look like me on a Saturday. They're wearing like camouflage pants and a T-shirt or something.
Right. So. And probably a shirt that says End the Fed. And I believe just about everybody that considers themselves libertarian has a shirt that says that.
Yeah, yeah. Which you can buy on our website at silvercirclemovie.com. But,
most people can buy on your website. Unfortunately, you guys need to put out a 3X so that I can buy a shirt.
I thought I'll double check on that. I know we.
I thought you only had twos.
Okay, I'll check on that. We want to be friendly and get all that stuff out there. So
yeah, I definitely want to get one of the Rebel shirts from you, as well as
me too.
The Fed Punisher shirt.
Yeah, that sounds
the Punisher
awesome.
Logo was the funniest thing in the whole process, because it just became militarizing the police. We found in looking at it, after years of staring at the Federal Reserve logo and seeing it on your dollar bills for your entire life, we realized that the very center of the circle has this kind of eagle on a shield, but the shield is done to look like almost like a skull with teeth. And so it's sort of like this fascist skull Punisher-looking symbol. And so we just kind of took the circles out and hardened, made it, just beefed it up, made it look a little bit more badass. And we changed the Federal Reserve's logo over to that. So now we're not using their real logo, so we're legally clear. But
you're doing so much worse than using their logo.
But it looks so amazing. And I really like the way the shirt that you have with that logo, it's the sort of faded look.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's out there. And John Schaefer, he's a friend and runs a metal band called Iced Earth. And when he's been touring, he says he wears that short sometimes. So some metal fans get to see him wearing it from stage. I'm pretty psyched about that.
Nice.
Yes. Metal. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm excited about the work that you're doing and getting this out to a much wider audience than just, the group of libertarians that are already aware of the Fed. You're actually going out. And the Comic-Con, I actually attended one in San Diego a couple years ago.
That is
the most visited Comic-Con in the world. There were, I believe, hundreds of thousands of people attend that throughout the entire length of the event.
Yeah, they can get very, very large. We are still on the waiting list for that one after years, but maybe for the sequel. But the biggest one we have is New York Comic Con, which is in October 12th, coming up very soon, and that had 106,000 people in it.
Right. So there's definitely a large segment of the population that will get to see this just at the Comic Con.
Yeah.
And if they like the way your comic book looks, they're going to tell their friends. Their friends are going to tell their friends. And, pretty soon everybody will know about this.
That's their evil plan. But, the idea is really to kind of get outside of the choir and into sort of a much more public storytelling thing. Because it's a really fun story. There's all the kissing and car chasing and blowing things up. So it fits right in. And, the Federal Reserve is... Well, it's like a comic book bad guy. It's this evil secret society that controls the world's money, that nobody found out about for 100 years.
Right. We've got roughly 1 minute left before the top of the hour. So if you want to give out your website, let people know where they can find out more about the Silver Circle, about the studio, which has changed names, and I do not remember the new name. It used to be Line Plot. You've changed it to something else. So go ahead, promote yourself. You've got 35 seconds.
Sure, Daryl. Thanks. Basically, you can find out about our movie, Silver Circle, at silvercirclemovie.com. That's silvercirclemovie.com. There's a really active blog called silverunderground.com. And there's a very active Facebook group with tens of thousands of people on there. Those are the major ways of contacting us. Twitter is growing, and but keep an eye out for us. We'll be out in the main movie theaters in January, and there'll be showings all over the place coming out this fall in the new comic book.
Welcome back to Voluntary Values. This is the final hour of the show. You're listening to Daryl.
And Serena.
And Serena is filling in for the usual co-host, Amberly, who is not feeling well today. So I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the first hour. Amberly, if you're listening,
we love you.
We love you. Take care of yourself. Eat lots of yogurt and other healthy things.
Although, how to be healthy.
I am not a doctor, so this is not doctoral advice.
No.
And I will give that disclaimer. And Serena will pretty much explain why, because there's a guy down in North Carolina that was just telling people stuff, and go ahead.
Yep. All right. Here it is. This is from Reason.com. It's the title is Blogging About the Paleo Diet Can Get You Shut Down in North Carolina by Brian Doherty. The state of North Carolina has its own Board of Dietetics and Nutrition. Of course it does. And it has decided that one blogger's right to free speech ends where the North Carolina Board of Dietetics and Nutrition's offices are officious overbearingness begins, as I think Oliver Wendell Holmes, or was it Oliver Wendell Douglas, once wrote. That's what it says. Here's the naughty bits as reported in Carolina Journal. When Steve Cooksey was hospitalized with diabetes in February 2009, he decided to avoid the fate of his grandmother, who eventually died of the disease. He embraced the low-carb, high-protein paleo diet, also known as the caveman or hunter-gatherer diet. The diet, he said, made him drug and insulin-free within 30 days. By May of that year, he had lost 45 pounds and decided to start a blog about his success. But this past January, the State Dietetics Nutrition Board decided Cooksey's blog, diabeteswarrior.net, violated state law. The nutritional advice Cooksey provides on the site amounts to practicing nutrition. The board's director says, and in North Carolina, that's something you need a license to do. Unless Cooksey completely rewrites his three-year-old blog, he could be sued by the licensing board. If he loses the lawsuit and refuses to take down the blog, he could face up to 120 days in jail. The board's director says Cooksey has a First Amendment right to blog about his diet, but he can't encourage others to adopt it unless the state has certified him as a dietitian or a nutritionist.
Okay. So,
that's some of it.
He can write about his diet, and he can say, you know, I did this, I did the other thing, and now I don't have diabetes. But he can't say, if you have diabetes, you might want to consider doing this.
And you can't suggest it to the public.
And no. I've actually seen some of the posts on this guy's blog. Nowhere does he say, you know, I'm giving medical advice.
Nope.
And he actually has a disclaimer at the bottom that says, I am not a doctor. This is not medical advice. This is what worked for me.
They must have found it just too persuasive, apparently, maybe.
I know that there are a lot of people up here in New Hampshire that adhere to the paleo diet. There's also people that do just a low-carb diet, mm-hmm. but don't go all the way in calling it a paleo diet, because apparently, to be completely paleo, instead of just eating chicken, which is low carb, you have to eat certain types of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You can't eat a chicken that was fed a grain.
Right, which means usually free range chickens, they're fed anything nutritional that the farmer wants to feed them.
I thought free range chickens ate whatever they could peck out of the ground.
Well, they do, but I mean, you know, sometimes they'll throw things on the ground for them.
Okay.
But I mean, that are not grains.
Right. So, you know, this guy, he clearly was not attempting to practice medicine.
No. No, he liked to record his success.
Because of the laws or regulations that have been put in place, and of course, you know, the regulations were put in place because of what? Lobbying by doctors. The AMA. No, I'm being sure. The AMA, which is the American Medical Association.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, they're mental as well. But the American Medical Association is responsible for a large chunk of the regulations that exist in the healthcare industry. Because they wanted to get the homeopathic doctors to be declared not real doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, there was basically a war on chiropractics.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, chiropractors.
I need one of those.
until the mid-80s, I believe it was, chiropractors could not be licensed by certain agencies because they weren't quote-unquote real doctors.
Right, and there's still a lot of
people. Well, there's still a lot of people that say that chiropractic is quackery. Mm. I disagree.
Right, I mean that's applying energy and pressure to and to a point. Oh my God, some people think it's nuts, but I definitely believe in healing energy, and that's I think could be part of that too. But this is kind of interesting that. The way that they worded this, because it seemed like they were reading our minds. It says he came to their attention after contradicting a local hospital's director of diabetes services at a local meeting and handing out cards about his site. What did the board find objectionable about Cooksey's site? Cooksey posted a link, 6.3 MB, blah, 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 download, to the board's review of his website. The document shows several web pages the board took issue with, including a question and answer page, which the director had marked in red ink, noting the places he was assessing and counseling
readers of his blog. That's what teachers use when you're in high school to tell you you're incorrect, and bureaucrats love red ink and red tape. You know, like, here's all the things you did wrong. I'm going to mark this in red.
Was I Want You on the Uncle Sam thing written in red, by the way?
I believe so.
I think it was, yeah. But it says, if people are writing you with diabetic specific questions and you are responding, you are no longer just providing information. You are counseling, she wrote. You need a license to provide this service.
Now you need a license to do Q&A.
You need a license for everything. They're threatened by the brain. They're threatened by human minds that feel that they know something.
Okay. And
it's so ridiculous.
I know you don't know the answer to this specific question because I don't know the answer, and I don't know if anybody does, because it's more of a rhetorical question than anything else.
Hmm.
If he needs a license to have, you know, a Q&A section on his website, or to be like, hey, send me your question and I'll provide an answer. Does Dear Abby need a license? Because people write her with questions all the time. And
who's the other one?
Ann Landers. And, you know, like, there's a bunch of the different, you know, like, ask so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that I love that is carried in a bunch of different but the free weekly papers. And it's all done tongue-in-cheek. Where it's the Ask a Mexican. So does this guy, according to their logic, does this guy need, you know, some kind of license in international relations to answer people's questions about Mexican heritage? And then there's one that runs in The Onion. And The Onion is just an amazing satire
parody. I love The Onion.
Savage Love, where people will send it, you know, dating advice questions. Does the person writing Savage Love need a license? Because she's giving advice. And based on their logic, you can't give advice without having a license from the state saying that I am authorized to give advice.
Wasn't it you that said that they don't actually have logic?
Yeah.
No, you're using logic.
No government agency uses logic. I've said for years that any organization with three or more members, when coming to a decision, will write down the logical thing, then write down the complete opposite, and then do that. So we'll keep talking about this blogger down in Carolina coming up momentarily on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values on the Liberty Radio Network, online at lrn.fm. You can listen or you can view the webcam and look at our lovely faces. And right now I want to tell you about Annie's Homestead. Annie'sHomestead.com makes homemade soaps, candles, lip balms, and a lot of other goodies. And during the month of September, Annie is running a sale where she has soaps $1.50 off. And if you mention that you heard about Annie's Homestead on this radio show, then she will send you a free lip balm. So go to annieshomestead.com and tell her that Daryl sent you. Serena, we were discussing this blogger down in North Carolina.
Yep.
And I hate the word blogger because it makes it sound...
Reminds me of the blob.
No, it... I wasn't even thinking that.
Of course not.
I was just thinking from a journalistic standpoint, it discounts.
I think so, too.
It's a way to discount and say, you know, like, he's not a real writer. He's not a real journalist or whatever it is.
Right. He didn't go through some big, like, publishing company.
No, he's just some guy with a blog. And they tried to say the same thing about Ademo when Ademo was... had his trial for wiretapping. They didn't say a reporter. All of the news articles said a blogger because it discredits, you know, who it is and what they're doing. So this guy down in North Carolina who had a website and he was telling, you know, how he basically beat diabetes with the paleo diet.
Which is pretty amazing.
So you were reading that article.
It's amazing. It's too amazing for the state.
If you want to, just go ahead and pick up where you left off.
Yeah, it says, let's see. Actually, I think I could go back that one sentence there.
Go ahead. Okay. You can backtrack a paragraph if you want to.
Yeah. It says, if people are writing you with diabetic-specific questions and you're responding, you are no longer just providing information. You are counseling. These people wrote... You need a license to provide this service. So it comes. The board also found fault with a page titled My Meal Plan, where Cooksey details what he eats daily.
Okay.
What?
So by saying this is what I'm eating.
Not use your drugs, government. Oh, no.
This is what I eat is now illegal. But it's okay when the school does it and sends home, you know, the school cafeteria menu. Says, hey, this is what we're feeding your children.
Yucky stuff. Sorry.
You know, because they have the little piece of paper from the government saying that it's okay.
My schlop is healthy for your children.
Right. Okay, so they took exception to him saying, this is what I eat.
Right. It says, In Red Bureau in Dietetics and Nutrition Board Director's article, Bureau writes, it is acceptable to provide just this information, his meal plan, but when you start recommending it directly to people you speak to or who write you, you are now providing diabetic counseling, which requires a license. The board also directed Cooksey to remove a link offering... Oh, crap. A link offering one-on-one support, a personal training type of service he offered for a small fee.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Ooh. Oh, no. Wait a minute, man.
That's where they got it. He was offering to sell his services.
You cannot make money.
You cannot sell your services without a license. Otherwise, that's considered agorism. Whether
it's
or
dangerous.
Not you realize that it's agorism,
it can
or
put you
not.
In bad danger if you're not evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, but I call it the Fed Drug Administration because
well, actually, in North Carolina
they put their
it, unless he was going,
too.
You know, unless he was doing stuff across state lines, then the FDA would have no jurisdiction over him.
That's true.
So then it just falls under the North Carolina. What was it? The Board of Dietetics and Nutrition?
Yeah, but we know who... Yeah, no. But there's the head of the operation, and it's the state. So it's not very nice. It's upsetting, but at the same time, it seems like there's a lot of tactics around that are trying to keep people from expanding their minds and their lives without use of government, which
right.
means that they're never going to legally be able to live a... perfectly good life. I mean, where they spend time with the people that matter and do things that they're supposed to.
And if we have anybody that's listening that uses the paleo diet or even the low carb diet, give us a call. I will let you tell as many people as you want to that, you know, they should at least look into the diet. So give us a call at 603-435-1105.
If you have any other diet things.
I will not establish a board of dietetics and nutrition for this radio show. So I will not tell you that you're not allowed to recommend a diet to people. And maybe you have more info on the diet than either of us, because I'm definitely not on the diet.
Yeah, and I'm more just the vegetables.
I don't think Serena is either. She's a vegetarian, and I like things that used to have a face and walk around.
Well, not. I'm more familiar with the stuff about nutrition when it comes to non meat stuff and non. Let's see. Yeah, the low carb stuff. I can understand it, but I don't know that much about it. No. Was it? Oh. So I saw that the guy says the bureaucrat speaks in this article.
This article that you're reading is from Reason magazine.
It was great though.
Reason is a libertarian publication, so
they love throwing
jabs at the state whenever they get a chance.
It's refreshing. Cooksey posts the following disclaimer at the bottom of every page on his website. I am not a doctor, dietitian, nor a nutritionist. In fact, I have no medical training of any kind. The bureaucrat speaks. Carla Vuro, the board's director, told Carolina Journal she could not discuss the details of Cooksey's case because his website is still under investigation, but agreed to talk about the law in the hypothetical. Vuro said Cooksey's disclaimer may not protect a nutrition blogger from the law. Okay.
So, hypothetically,
okay.
We can't say that this protects. That's why all the time when you see the ads on TV for, you know, some law service, they have to throw out the disclaimer of, this person's a paid spokesman and, you know, like, we're not saying that this lawyer is any better than any other lawyer, you know, this, that, the other. There's the disclaimer, and there's disclaimers on pretty much everything now.
It's if it'll work, then you'll most likely see a disclaimer unless it's evaluated by the state.
I still want to see if they're going after, you know, this guy because his disclaimer isn't quote unquote good enough. I want to see a disclaimer in every edition of Ann Landers, Dear Abby, and all of these other advice columns. Make them put out a disclaimer as well. And, you know, I'm...
Be fair, man.
Yeah, just be fair. We'll talk about this and more coming up momentarily on Voluntary Values. Welcome back to Voluntary Values with Daryl and Serena. And... may be wondering why Serena's here instead of Imberly. Imberly is not feeling well today. So take care of yourself, and...
There's a radio hug.
Yes, a virtual radio hug sent out to Imberly. And if you are online listening to LRN.FM, you can look at the webcam. It's right there on the homepage of LRN.FM. Look at our lovely faces. Join the chat. I know there's people in there I was in earlier. And so, you know, join the chat. Chat room's going. Cam's there. Listen to the feed. And Serena, we've been talking this hour about this guy down in North Carolina who is in quite a bit of trouble for telling people about his diet.
Yep.
And he does not have a license. Go back just a little further up in that article and reread the disclaimer that he has on every page of his website.
Yeah, it says, I am not a doctor, dietitian, nor a nutritionist. In fact, I have no medical training of any kind.
And apparently the board of Dietetics and Nutrition is saying that that disclaimer is not good enough. Apparently, they want this guy to get a license before he's allowed to give people advice. And, of course, I've been pointing out the hypocrisy of the state to where they're saying that this guy needs a license to give advice, but yet Ann Landers and Dear Abby and all of these other, you know, what do they call it?
I don't know.
Advice columnist. The advice columnist in different newspapers, they don't need a license and they don't have to put disclaimers of, I'm not a therapist, but you should, you know, treat your children this way. So either one person needs a license, or if one person needs a license, everybody needs a license. If there's one person that does not need a license, no one needs a license.
You should, readers should be able to get the information that they want, and the person writing it should be able to give out the information that they want to give. A third party, I mean, often comes into the situation because of quote unquote rules and regulations.
Right.
Stuff and that's just completely interference.
I've heard some radio shows before where, you know, it's somebody that's giving legal advice, but he has to say, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not giving you legal advice.
Yeah.
But this is how I would handle that situation. You hear this all the time. So either everybody needs a license or no one needs a license, and I tend to go with no one needs a license. So go ahead, finish up this article real quick.
Right. Burrell is the board's director. Burrell said Cooksey's disclaimer may not protect a nutrition blogger from the law. I've given you reason to not worry that I don't have a license because I have all these other reasons I'm an expert, you could still harm the public, she said. At least you're not trying to mislead the public, but you're trying to get the public, to trust you. Really now.
Oh, you mean like
really?
how back in the 60s, Philip Morris and Marlboro and several other cigarette companies would have commercials and say 4 out of 5 doctors recommend this brand of cigarette.
Mm.
Or, you know, this brand of cigarette, blah, 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 blah. They were getting people to trust them. And they had, you know, they were regulated by the state. And they were allowed to get away making these weird claims about, you know, cigarettes being healthy and all these other things. Mm-hmm. But this guy saying, hey, here's some food that I ate, and I no longer have diabetes.
And it's a diet that that people know about. It's not like he made up this diet, right?
Like, no, it's not like the Atkins diet or anything.
It's not like he's advertising his own
make
brand.
if you just heard me say Atkins, I'm not bashing on Atkins, but he made up a diet, basically. This guy did not make up this diet. This diet has been around for literally thousands of years.
They must see positive feedback and feel threatened by it. I can't think of anything else, which is kind of sad.
If it was a new diet, it would not be called the caveman diet. that just makes sense there. Oh, this is what the cavemen ate. Okay, apparently it's not new. It's been around for a while.
A while, yeah.
A couple of years at least.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the cavemen work for that insurance company, and I still want to see them cook and eat that little lizard. Not sure if that would be healthy, and I'm not giving medical advice on whether or not it's healthy to cook and eat little lizards, just in case anyone was curious. Okay, so I'll not interrupt you for the rest of this article.
All right. Okay. Burrell said if Cooksey refuses to come into compliance with the law, the board could file for an injunction. The paleo diet, a passionate fad and or lifestyle change of an enormous number of folk I know concentrated in the worlds of libertarianism, futurism, space, and your basic new digital economy, does that still exist, in parentheses, and the places where all those interests intersect, may or may not save you from diabetes, give you the pep you need, or revert you back down the evolutionary chain, or whatever it's supposed to do. but that someone should be able to describe his experiences with it and advocate for his own good results should go, or wait, and advocate for his own good results should go without saying, though my saying that may well contradict a directive of the California Board of going without saying. And yeah.
Okay, and again, this article came from Reason.com, and Reason always, or the majority of the time, they try to put the libertarian slant on their articles. And,
let's see what Cook, it has Cooks, a link to Cooksey's site. I might as well put it up, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What is his website? What's the website for Cooksey?
It just says Cooksey's site, so I'm going to bring it
up. No, up here in the address bar.
But it's loading.
Oh, okay.
Diabeteswarrior.net. Oh, yeah, that was written in the article, but for those that weren't listening, diabeteswarrior.net.
Okay, so if you're a fan of the paleo diet and you want to show this guy some support, then, you know, visit his site, share it around on Facebook, and make sure that you tell people that you are not giving medical advice by sharing his site, because I don't want to see you get in trouble with, you know, the North Carolina Bureau of Dietetics and Nutrition.
Mm.
And you know that it's a convoluted agency when they have the word dietetics in it. You know, why not just call it, like, the Board of Health?
Well,
they're using a word that is intentionally vague and obscure.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
they're good at that.
I can't tell you, before today, I cannot tell you the last time I actually used the word dietetics. And now I've said it no less than a dozen times.
It doesn't sound good either.
Yeah, it just sounds weird. It's a very weird sounding word.
Well, it's because it's just useless.
So,
it doesn't need,
you know,
to exist. It is unfit to exist.
If you're, you know, there was something else that was said to be unfit to exist.
The Constitution.
Yes, Lysander Spooner said whether the Constitution be one thing or another, it has either authorized such government as we have or been powerless to prevent it.
In either case,
it is unfit to exist. And that quote came from the book he wrote, No Treason. You can get a copy of that by going to shop.fpp.cc. Shameless plug. And we'll be back momentarily.
Stay healthy. This is
Voluntary Values. Values. This is Daryl.
And this is Serena.
And this is the final segment of the show. It's hard to believe that 2 hours have
flown
by. Well, they're not over yet. We still have, you know, 10 minutes. And this hour we've been talking about this blogger. And again, I hate using that term, but that's how he's referred to in all of the articles.
This awesome guy who writes cool stuff online.
Steve Cooksey, who has a website, Diabetes Warrior, and that's diabetes-warrior.net. He recovered from diabetes by going on the paleo diet, and the North Carolina Board of Dietetics and Nutrition.
Dietetics.
They decided that they didn't like the fact that he was telling people that he beat diabetes, and they also didn't like the fact that he was telling people, this is what I ate, and these are things that I did, and if you do them too, then you might have the same result.
The details of productivity in my life that have made me feel better, you cannot learn them, public. You are not supposed to trust me. I have to get permission to get you to trust me.
That's basically
what he says.
The article that you read from Reason, it stated a disclaimer that he has on his website And I'm looking at the website now, and all the way down at the bottom, he's modified his disclaimer just slightly in a very humorous way, and it pokes fun at the bureaucrats. So I figure I'll share this with you, and then we'll move on to... you wanted to talk about some essential oils.
Yeah, health tips, basically.
Yeah, let me just read this real quick, and this applies to us as well. But Steve Cooksey on his website writes, I am not a doctor, dietitian, nor nutritionist. In fact, I have no medical training of any kind. If I can figure this out, so should they. If it wasn't for their A, intellectual laziness, B, willful ignorance, C, greed, or D, all of the above. Now, there is one thing that I see on his website that disappoints me.
What?
He has copyrighted his website.
Oh. Well,
if you're giving out information. No, if you're giving out information and you want the information to be distributed, why are you claiming a copyright on the information?
Yes, actually.
Put it out under Creative Commons and say, hey, anybody can print this and hand it out and give it to anybody that they want.
And guess what?
Just make sure that you say that I wrote it.
Exactly. Your name will be... going through the streets naturally.
No, instead he decided to copyright all rights reserved. Meaning that...
Many people do that, though.
I cannot tell you anything else about this guy's website without getting his permission based on a strict interpretation of what copyright means. Even though I'm doing it in a journalistic fashion, technically I could inadvertently violate copyright. Now, Serena, you wanted to give a little bit of health advice, but it's not medical advice because she has no training. She doesn't have papers from a government agency. So if any bureaucrats are listening to this show,
beware.
Then, you can turn your radios off now because she's going to say some words that you might not like.
Right. Like, well, first off, you need to remember the vital importance of smiling and creating your natural positive energy, because that will give you more, it'll rev you up for the rest of your day. That's one thing. But you gotta eat breakfast. I don't eat breakfast enough. Just have, like, proteins and the carbs and stuff should be more, like, in the beginning of the day so you could burn them off is... Strict advice, obviously. People go
you're saying
back
for people
and forth
that
to stuff.
Wish to eat carbs. You
right,
are not necessarily advocating the eating of carbs.
Right, right. Don't, yeah. Not exactly. No. I mean,
no,
but I'm
just
not
know
against
that there are a lot of low-carb people. And
oh, gosh. Okay, the low... You know what? This is more important. The low-carb thing. People drinking diet drinks and having diet things, most of the time, they you need to make sure you read what you're... eating and drinking, because a lot of these things that they put in your drinks are not good for you, and it's not going to really help you lose weight. It's completely an illusion. But if anything, your mind is telling you that something is working to make you lose weight, and that's why you're losing weight. There's probably nothing else about it. Like sugar, you can burn that. Like it can zap your bloodstream, but you can burn off the sugar that's in your system. Let's see, what else is there? I'm coming off on kind of a tangent thing, in a way. Let's see. There are certain, like he was saying, essential oils that treat things that a lot of people wouldn't really assume. Like there's one of my favorite things that I read in this little booklet I have here is that oregano has a bunch of different health properties that I wasn't aware of. I'll just name a few of them because there's a pretty big list, but athlete's foot, candida, respiratory infection, muscle aches, intestinal parasites, pneumonia, ringworm, staph/MRSA.
MRSA.
MRSA, that's what it is. Thank you.
that's the...
that's what people say.
Drug-resistant version of staph that...
Yeah.
Is pretty nasty from what I understand.
I think one of my friends might have actually gotten that in his eye.
Now, do you know if this information that you have in that little booklet, do you know if that's online somewhere if someone wanted to find that?
I don't know what I can say about it.
No, I'm saying not the company where you right. got the book, but do you know if the actual information?
I don't know what links they'd be on, but you'd probably be not the easiest thing to find. I mean, maybe it would because it's beautiful internet, but these are things that a lot of people are shut out from knowing. This is one of the things that there's fears that the FDA has that you're going to not be dependent on their actually pretty useless drugs, which are often even placebo.
Right. And, well, there's also, you know, a lot of people sort of have the thought that any kind of, you know, like homeopathic sort of thing that somehow that borders into like witchcraft or something.
Right. And it's sad because like, but the thing is, it's like oils absorb right through the skin into the rest of your body just naturally. And the drugs that they make you take are very rarely make you feel any better. They always make you feel worse.
Right. But I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, that there are some people that they're like, oh, you know, you're like messing around with that sort of black magic sort of stuff by doing this substance and that.
Right.
While at the same time, you know, going to the pharmacy and picking up aspirin or Tylenol or any other, you know, basically synthesized sort of thing to alter their body. So, you know, yeah, homeopathic and holistic sort of stuff. I'm sure the information is out there. There are tons of websites, but yeah, so that's just very that oregano.
Yeah, oregano, the thing that they put in, you know, your actually, little shaker.
Well, and I believe that's actually saying the oil from the oregano.
Right, it is the oil from the oregano.
Not the oregano itself, right. But I'm sure the plant oregano has a lot of the same sort of healing properties there.
Yeah, and then there's also, this one is pretty interesting too. It's peppermint. There's, of course, it's a big list, so not everything will be read, but alertness, allergies for the air and from the air and the skin, antibacterial, antioxidant, asthma, autism, bad breath, Bell's palsy, brain injury, chronic fatigue.
Okay, hold on.
Cold sores, brain injury.
Peppermint cures or helps with bad breath. Of course it does. That's why it's in chewing gum.
Right. That's the only thing it does, guys. It only helps bad breath. That's the only thing it does, according to their markets.
Just, you know, that just seemed very obvious to
right.
me.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. You know, but I still think
all right,
it's funny.
What are the two most common types of chewing gum? Peppermint and spearmint.
Mint.
Mint. Yeah. Mint. They don't sell, you know, What are those little things in the can? They're called mints. They're not called oreganos. They're not called garlic pills. Garlic pills do not give you good breath. They make your mouth smell yucky. Okay, I'm done with my rant.
Cool.
So give us about 15 more seconds.
It
worth
was
of something.
Herpes simplex was one of the things, and hives and hot flashes. And this is all about mint. What it helps. There's paralysis, shock, ulcers, varicose veins, vomiting. Oh my, it goes on. Just research more about essential oils, yeah, and you'll be very surprised at how you can replace basically everything that you would buy from the drug people.
All right, and the show's over. We're done for the week. Join us back next week. Voluntary Values.